Right. So welcome everybody. Welcome this evening on a stormy night. We have a storm coming in. My name is Anton.
I'm Rodianne.
We're connecting with you from Godini, which is about an hour outside of Cape Town. And we visited Monica this afternoon. We arrived home about an hour ago. And in that hour, we came from Cape Town, where it seemed like the weather had been clearing a little bit already. And then we started driving through this storm that was raining through the mountain. Mm. And it's on the way to us, which when we see a storm coming in this part of the world, we see it coming from a distance, and it creates a certain restlessness of expectation of things shuffling and changing. And I spoke to the watchers a little bit before this meeting to say, well, that's sort of where I'm at. I feel quite excitable at the moment. So I'm just kind of calming down from that a little bit, and adjusting on how we are going to tackle this meeting this evening. We don't have specific topics. Normally what we do is we have a list of questions that arrive, and we work our way through those. This evening, we thought we'd keep it simple, and for us to practice on having a discussion on what are sacred mushrooms, what are psilocybin mushrooms, and secondly, what is a Soma retreat. And we would like amongst ourselves, amongst the panelists, being myself and Rodianne, Anthea, Bianca, and Monica, to have that discussion, but right from the get-go, say this is a chat around the fireplace. This is a chat in a room, in a kitchen somewhere, with a cup of coffee in hand, and please give your input. We don't have all the right answers. We have an outline of what we know through and have learned through experience, and we have an outline of how we work with sacred mushrooms in a Soma retreat. And I'm guessing that's very much why the newcomers are here. You're here to find a certain answer that could take you on your path. Who here is got no experience, got no knowledge about what we do? And I think I'm looking at Yanis and Christy and Melanie and Nick, which have got some kind of background. What kind of history do you have with psilocybin mushrooms? It's very much a yes and a no question at this stage. Are you first timers or do you have some history?
First timer.
And Yanis, I think from emails, I think you're very much on that same on that same path.
Experiences. I didn't really count them, but yeah, about 6 or 7.
Thank you. So to get the ball rolling a little bit, I'd like to introduce the panel of watchers that are here this evening to be part of this conversation. Anthea, I think, has disappeared off this. Oh, there she is, Anthea. Sorry, you're in the bottom corner. You did warn me about your connection. Anthea is in Stellenbosch and has given us a little bit of a background, and I'd very much encourage you all to refer back to those bios if you want a deeper background of the watchers here. I want to hand over to each of the watchers in turn just to say hi and about where you are. Hi, Anthea.
Hi there. Thank you, Anton. Hi, everybody. I'm looking at black screen, so we see how it goes if I hang in here with a connection. Well, I'm sure you've all read the bio, so I don't remember what I said, but basically, yeah, looking forward to sharing an evening, just learning from each other, with finding out more about how the mushrooms work and help one to live a more embodied life. So thank you. Thanks, Anton.
Thanks, Anthea. Bianca, hi.
Yes, hi, thank you. I actually don't have much to say. I'm joining from Grotto, and I'm just looking forward to see what comes up in the discussion tonight. So thank you.
Monica is smiling, Bianca, because she wants you to talk more. She wants you to express yourself. But thank you for being here from Grotto Bay. Rodianne, you finished
I've finished rushing around with the animals. Sorry about that, everybody. My dog is on chronic heart medication. So I have a very, very, very strict routine that needs medication and then an hour and feed, and it's nothing comes in the way of that. So that's what was happening. But I'm now with you all 100%. I guess if you want to know more about me, it's the bios. It's all there. I said to Anton, do I change my bio this week to someone who's learning how to spin? I don't know. That's how crazy our lives are. But here we are, and we show up every time because we want to share this information of the beauty of the world, of what the sacred soma mushrooms can do in your life. So happy that you're all here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. And lastly, but not least, Monica.
Yeah. I just have to tell you that I have learned after long experience now with mushrooms and very deep, very committed, that I become more and more aware of how we are all living in more than one world at a time, usually two worlds at a time. And I was thinking about that now while the watchers were introducing themselves, and how they have two worlds or more. Like Anton and Rady Ann have the farm, and they have their mushroom work, and the animals. You didn't hear that they have a little herd of alpacas, animals that they're looking after. A very, very interesting place to visit. And as for Bianca, who should talk a lot, because she is so wise and she speaks so beautifully about things, and she's a hypnotherapist, so she sees right into you. She kind of knows all about you, and I wish she would talk more. I know Detoy, seeing Detoy here, he's not a watcher, or not yet anyway, but he makes cannabis oil as a kind of a hobby, and he's given me some for my own. I get pain in my legs at night, and he's given me some for my brother as well, who gets a pain in his back. We're all getting old. I'm getting old, not all of us, me. And so we all have these different worlds that we live in, and one of the marvelous things that happens when we work with mushrooms that I become more and more aware of as the years go by is how we learn to live in more than one world at a time. Usually two worlds, the world of spirit and the world of the physical realm, both of which are very real. And we learn how to live effectively in both at the same time, so that we can be practical on the one hand and very able to receive wisdom and guidance from that other level, which is one of the important things that we learn for those who work seriously with mushrooms. I could gabble on. I'm not going to say any more. That's enough.
The thing is, we always want Monica to gabble on, but we do understand how important.
I can take up the rest of the night if you like.
And we appreciate that so much, because it has happened before. And what Monica needs often reminding of is how much we appreciate that, because there is so much value in experience.
Yeah.
And that's very much what we're sharing at these information meetings to those of you that want to hear about real experience rather than reports and reviews that are often written on paper. So we're normal people sharing what we've learned through experience. And some of us have done that in different ways. But we are deeply passionate about this work that we do. And we appreciate how this family grows so much as well. We've got three names that I recognize here and people that I recognize. We've got Wes and Detoy, who we met just a couple of months ago. And it's so wonderful to see you back here. Wes and Detoy have both journeyed online. I know that from last month. And we can talk about that a little bit more as well to give an overview. And then we also have Rian, who's an experienced journeyer and has joined Monica in Somerset West. Him and his wife has joined us in Joburg before as well when we've traveled. We're hoping at some point, Rian, you'll be ready to join us online as well. And so this family grows. And we're a small group of people who can join you on your path for a little while. And we're always here to come and go. There's one of the principles of Soma, of keeping the door open, and whoever wishes to arrive for a ceremony can arrive, and they're also very welcome to leave in a way. So what I want to do is give a brief overview, or give an opportunity for the watchers to share a little bit more, firstly about sacred mushrooms. What are psilocybin mushrooms? I'm sure you all from your own research have an understanding of that. Secondly, we can talk about Soma retreats. We can give you an overview of the physical retreats, as well as what we mean by this online experience. By way of hands, and I always talk about this waving of hand, Zoom has this function in the bottom left-hand corner of the participants box. You'll see there's a blue hand. It says raise hand. There where you see the list of names of people who are attending, Monica. Either you may have to click on participants to see that box, but at the bottom of that there's a blue hand that says raise hand. You can either click that.
I never see that hand.
You never see that hand.
I know everybody else sees it, but it's on my screen. My only option there is to invite.
No, she's right.
Okay.
I also don't get the hand.
Oh, James, you make me feel so much better.
No, yeah. Me too, though.
Nick has got his hand in the air, which is a good start. So if we don't have you on camera, please physically wave your hand. If you don't have a blue hand, otherwise feel free to put the blue hand up if you want to speak or add something. We'll happily include you. Melanie, is that a test or can I hand over to you, Melanie? Shall we try that again, Melanie? Can you hear me?
She's blocked. Her sound is blocked. Can you unblock her, Anton?
I have unmuted her. Melanie, can you hear me?
Yes.
There she is.
Sorry.
Yeah, we can hear you now. How are you?
I'm not in the greatest place to chat, so sorry, I have been like all over the place. There was just, I do have a breathwork session in 20 minutes. So there was two things I really wanted to know. I did a journey with Monica about 2.5 years ago. So we have been called for like the last 2 months or so. So I'm like really looking forward to doing this again. The online thing, I just was a little bit concerned in terms of the support. So like, what if you don't really have someone who you really trust to watch you? And then the other thing was, before I do go, was how much for the sacrament when we have to order?
All right, thank you, Melanie. We'll be sending you a link to the recording. So if there's anything that you miss after this, you can catch up on that. Maybe Rodianne, I can throw it in on you to give a little bit of an overview of what an online retreat is about, and how the support structure works. I'm not even going to give you the chance. I'm going to throw you under the bus to speak and say, please give Melanie an overview.
Well, you know, Anton's really good at running these online retreats. You know, he sends all this wonderful info. Okay, now I'll be serious about this. It's a little private joke between the two of us. Online retreats, you know, to give you a quick idea, I don't know how much you know about it, but it all was Monica's crazy idea in lockdown, because we were all suffering proper from not seeing each other, not doing the work, everybody needing to journey. And she just came up with this wonderful idea. And we had no idea how we were going to do this. But ultimately what happened is we created a WhatsApp group. But firstly, we meet on Zoom like this and we have a chat, and we then disconnect. I'm giving you a Reader's Digest because you did say you've got 20 minutes. So I'm going to quickly put it in as quickly as I can, and Anton will fill in the gaps and Monica will too. But basically, we created this Zoom platform where we all meet each other and we get to know each other during the week prior to that now, because this is what's developed since then. We were on a WhatsApp group and we get to introduce ourselves on the WhatsApp. You send a picture, you get to see who we are, and there's this little chance of speaking about your nerves and how you feel the week before. The night comes, we all meet up on Zoom. I think I've said this about 10 times. And then finally, once we've introduced and we have an idea of where everybody is and where everybody's, how they're feeling, where you are, how just to connect, if I can say that, because that's what we found is so incredibly important with this online work, is that this building of this mycelium network before you start the journey, as opposed to when you arrived at Monica and you were all there and you introduced each other and you got a feel for who you were sharing your room with. Now we're using Zoom as that. So now we introduce ourselves, we shut down Zoom, but then fortunately for us watchers, we have a watcher WhatsApp group where we can stay in contact with each other throughout the night. And then for the journeyers, we have a separate WhatsApp group where us watchers are also included in. And that is for you. I mean, we have had a lot of people who journey completely alone. And then we, as in the WhatsApp group, are their only connection to the outside world. And funnily enough, it's worked pretty well. We've just lost power. I think the Fred Valley has just lost electricity.
So, Bianca and Anthea, if I can hand over to you to fill in gaps first with Bianca, to as we figure out to get some light here.
Yes. You can't even see Anton. Move forward.
If you could go ahead and continue to fill in the gaps that Rodian missed.
Okay. Thank you for that. So and then what happens really is you take your WhatsApp group as your safety line, or as your network through the night, and you journey by yourself at home. Now, I've journeyed at Monica's before, and I've journeyed at home before, and I have to say there's something really special to journey in Somaliland. But I think you must be open to journey at home, because what we find is that the support is actually... It's almost an equal, it's just on a different kind of level, because at Monica's you journey with a group of people and you have your watchers there, but you have to be incredibly still because you somehow have the feeling that you're not allowed to disturb the other people. Where when you journey at home, it's completely your journey. So if you want to walk around, or if you want to cry, or if you want to sob, or if you want to laugh, or if you have a pet, then you can include all of that into your journey. So both sides have a pro and a con. So if you journey by yourself for the first time, you are so incredibly safe, because the network of people within the WhatsApp group really, really hold your space. And it's difficult to explain if you haven't experienced it, but it really works like that. So that's what I can give you from my side. And I'm sure Anthea or Monica have something to add to this.
Thank you, Bianca. Let's go to Anthea first, and then Monica, you can round it off for us a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you, Bianca, and everyone. Also, as Rodian briefly touched on, you do get a lot of emails and support during the week building up, and you get a playlist and what to do and all questions answered and stuff. So there's a lot of support and holding. And from the journeys that I've been, there always seems to be a common thread of something. So even though we can sometimes be in different continents, even there's always some something that is relevant for everybody. And it's just a reminder of even though how far away from each other we are actually just so connected. And Soma is a way of weaving that as well, which is how come these journeys seem to work so well. So, yeah. I'll hand over to Monica.
If we're concerned about being alone with the mushroom journey, what the message I think that's behind that is a fear of mushrooms. And one of the things that we learn very quickly once we start working with mushrooms is that there's absolutely nothing to fear. Unfortunately, the media has all kinds of dramatic stories that they write about. I mean, there was a story a little while ago. The headline was naked man on magic mushrooms runs down the main road. Now, about 4,000 people have come through my home in the last 12 years. And there was one man that actually took his clothes off in the field over the road. And that was a really beautiful story that I won't get into now. I want to talk about the media report. They put magic mushrooms in the headline because that makes a good headline. But if you read the story, the same guy had taken LSD and cocaine and all, I can't even remember all the other things, had taken the whole lot. And had he just taken mushrooms, he would never have gone running naked down the street. So we've been influenced by a false fear that we very quickly learn that there is nothing to fear. You could be totally alone in the middle of the ocean and work with mushrooms very beautifully. In fact, what a wonderful, we must do that. It would be a lovely thing to do. It's the safest of things to do. It's more dangerous to get in your car and drive to work in the morning. And then the other thing that you asked specifically, Melanie, is about the price. The mushrooms are 100 Rand a gram. And what we recommend is 5 grams. So that would be 500 Rand. And the price was for just being present and looked after during the journey, the online journey, is 200 Rand. So if you have 5 grams plus the other, it's a total of 700 Rand if you journey online. One thing more, Melanie, before I go away. How remarkable is it that there are billions of surnames in the world, and that we should in this little group have two people with the same, well, one with the first name, the same one as your surname, Melanie. Don't you think that's interesting? Her sound is gone, so she can't answer me.
I love the synchronicity here. It's definitely meant to be.
You know, carry on, Melanie.
Thanks for your response. You kind of hit a trigger there when you said, when you mentioned that the question about me trusting or being alone was really the fear of mushrooms. And I think that, I mean, it has been a while. And I think, you know, even from my initial journey, there was this fear of control, like my own control, that I've obviously, you know, been trying to work through. And I guess that's still kind of underlying. But I can trust what you say, that it's not something to fear. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to ask was, I mean, do people actually sit on their phones and actually WhatsApp while they're going through this? Is that what you mean by the whole WhatsApping groups?
If I can give a little bit of an overview and a summary from that point of view, from my side, now that we can see each other, now that there's a little bit of light, in a summary, the online retreat is over a period of a week before the experience, providing everybody the tools and everything that they need to journey on their own. And if they're inexperienced or are anxious for being on their alone at home, or working with sacred mushrooms for the first time, we then recommend having a companion. And a companion could simply be someone that's in the house with you. They don't have to be a watcher. They don't have to be a person that has any experience. And they can also be included in the group that we offer support to. So when we refer to the WhatsApp group, that group is there for the whole week before the Saturday night, offering advice, getting to know each other, giving information about what you need to prepare your space, and also getting to know this group of people that could be spread out all over the world. Once we finished our Zoom meeting on the Saturday night, we are available throughout the night, but there's no expectation for you to be sitting on your phone and connected with your phone. If you have a companion with you, you say, well, we'd like to know from them how Melanie is doing, and or if they have any questions, about whatever is happening. Is this person's feeling nauseous? What should I do? Well, maybe getting them a bucket is a good start. And it's normal that you may be nauseous. Melanie, you've attended a retreat before. You know that sometimes that is experienced. So it's offering a support structure via WhatsApp to communicate with people in a way that can provide them the safety of whatever they need to go through the experience. With COVID and lockdown, we've had people journey on their own because they've had to, because they didn't have an opportunity to have people with them. We've had an experienced journeyer sitting on the 25th floor in Kuwait. We've had people in Canada on their own. We've had people in all over the world on their own. And in periods where they may be uncertain of how their body is reacting, they have an opportunity to either reach out via text, but they also could send a voice message. They could send out a WhatsApp call. And there's a group of experienced people on the other side to answer that telephone and to have a conversation and sit and talk with them if needed and or give advice based on their own experiences. Carl, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, Anton, sorry, man. Yeah, thank you for that. Just a question from my side. Any advice on what a person needs to do to create a space where you would journey? I think I did see in the written material that you suggest maybe candle lighting. You're going to share a playlist. But I'm just thinking about, you know, where a person would typically sit. Would you suggest you sit in a comfortable chair, or do you suggest you sit on the floor somewhere on a mattress, the bed? What are your suggestions as far as this is concerned? Or does it really matter?
In short, I'd like to get Rodianne's answer and some of the others' answers as well. But in short, there's no limit to where you can work and journey with mushrooms. From a ceremony point of view, it's going to be suggested that yes, you can create a comfortable space where you can lie down, etc., etc. But Monica's the first one that told me many years ago that you can work with mushrooms in a rubbish dump. You can have a ceremony in a rubbish dump. There's no wrong place. Create an environment where you're going to be comfortable and feel safe in. And if that includes the advice of candles, because your senses are quite sensitive, bright light can affect you, hence the candles, et cetera, et cetera, mattress, warm, blankets, et cetera, et cetera. That's the environment. The rest is how the space is what you feel comfortable in. And that could include what you could feel uncomfortable in. And avoid an area that you suspect could create discomfort, because you may be in a situation when you question about that. Am I kind of alluding to something there?
I think that's a good one.
Okay.
Any of the other watchers would like to add anything to that?
Well, I would like to say something, Carl, is that it doesn't really matter, apart from what Anton has already said about feeling comfortable, because you're going to leave that space. Your body might stay in it, but you are going to go to other dimensions and other kingdoms and not be there. If you need to go to the toilet, you'll be returned back to your body and come back, and you can move around. But the space is not really that important, because that's not what it's about. It's about leaving that space behind.
Okay, thank you.
I'm so sorry. I'm not a watcher, but I was told by my wife the other day I'm very opinionated, so I'm going to share some opinions. Carl, comfort is so important. I journeyed alone from my house not too long ago, and the kids were sleeping. My wife was watching me from the bedroom. She fell asleep. She never watched me, but she was watching me, and I had my headphones on. And I realized, although it was fantastic, I could hear the music beautifully and it was loud and it was immersive, I realized that I couldn't turn onto my side. And when I turned onto my side, it switched the music off. Now I had to get out of my, like, basically get out of the journey, get the headphones right. Now the phone isn't lacquer. Now I'm sorting out the phone. Now I'm back down and now I've got one blanket. There's no watcher that sees me getting cold. Now I need another blanket. Now I must first get another blanket. And those things, it's like you've got so much time And I just want to be in that space, and I don't want to be disturbed in that space. So you want to create an environment that works and it's comfortable, and nothing is going to get you out of that space. For me, it's now to the point where I make sure if I go to the bathroom 10 times before the mushrooms start working, I'm going to do it 10 times because I don't want to go to the bathroom in the middle. You just want make sure everything is sorted, everything, nothing must disturb you. And you must be able to stay in that space as long as you need to be there and have everything close by. Think very practical about it if you're alone, if you don't have someone. And just one more thing that I wanted to say about the online journeying and the role of the watchers. That night that I journeyed alone, Yabez is one of the other watchers that's frequently here. It wasn't an online ceremony. I just felt like I wanted to journey that night. And I told him about it. And he said, he'll be there if I need him. And it was so wonderful when I woke up the first time and I could let him know, Yabez, I'm fine. And me personally, I always have the need. I need to tell someone this. I'm experiencing such amazing things. Someone needs to hear about this. To just let him know I'm here, I'm fine. It's going well. My dog is happy with me. The fire is burning and I'm going to go back because there's more. Bathroom, pet the dog back and off. It's so nice to have someone on the other side that you can say, I'm okay. It's nice. It's nice knowing there's someone on the other side. That's even if it is just to read your message. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you,
Melania. Thank you very much.
She's running off. Melania, I hope you will. I hope you'll watch and have the opportunity to see the rest of the video, and also feel free to connect with us via email. The toy to add on what you were saying is what's so important with us watchers, and I think you've expanded so beautifully with how Yabez made himself available, and it ties in a little bit with Melanie's thought on the WhatsApp group. Us as watchers really do try and do as little as possible, and it's even harder with the online experience where we really want to know how it's going, but we make a point of not interfering to send a message and here we want to know how you're doing, but that's an interference. So we wait for you to say, here, I'm fine, I'm patting the dog, I'm going to make a cup of coffee, and then I'm going to go and journey again. So that's appreciated so much from our side as well. And that compares with a retreat in the physical environment where, for those that haven't been in that environment, Carl, the watchers are also doing as little as possible to interfere. They're not there to help a person through the process that they're going through. They're there to look after them in the physical realm, but they're not there to have a conversation with them. They're not there to check up on them. It's simply to look after them in the physical space. And when you're working on your own, you've been given the tools of whatever may happen, whatever you may need. Keep a blanket close by, light candles instead of expecting that you're going to change things beforehand. Get your playlist set up beforehand, because once you've started working with the mushrooms and they start moving through, you don't have an opportunity to fiddle with screens and change settings and things like that. Dutoy, you expanded so beautifully. We've spoken about this before. You're on the same page as us, and you're very much part of our family, and you've got such a beautiful way of expanding that as you have now. Thank you as well. Is there anything else I should add about, or anybody else would like to add about, the comparison between an online and a physical retreat? Whereas a reminder that the physical experience is on hold at the moment due to COVID, and until we have a clarification on that, there won't be any physical retreats in Somerset West until we have some guidance on there. So we're working in a way that we can via this online, which is so difficult to explain in words.
One of the wonderful things about the online retreats is that they're available everywhere in the world. Whereas a physical retreat in a specific venue is almost always limited to people who live nearby. And to be able to know that everyone can attend a retreat anywhere in the world, every little dorp in South Africa, any country in the world, is really very, very special. And I look forward to seeing how this is going to grow and evolve over time.
Thank you, Monica. It's such a difficult one to explain always. And I think practice and exercise of explaining this, it's nearly a cliched word I'm finding, is this online, because there's a perception of what that encompasses. And the more and more we speak about it, I really try and remove this word of online, because it really does create a perception of what it is all about. Thank you, Nick. We will see you soon once you've rebooted. I've just seen that you've posted in the text messages there as well. Going over to the other watchers, if we want to speak about more about psilocybin mushrooms and give an indication of working on your own, because that's very much the topic for this evening, is it seems. We can't really talk too much about a physical retreat because those aren't on the cards at the moment. But working on your own definitely is, and creating an environment where everybody feels comfortable for that. Does anybody have any specific questions? Rian, Christy, Yanis, about what else that encompasses, or any specific thoughts about psilocybin themselves that you'd like to ask at this point?
From my side, an online retreat is a bit scary because, well, I lose the ability to both speak, write, and I think listen as well when I've got 5 grams in me. And to have the trust, like Melanie said, in someone, even at home, I've got Michelle, so it's a different story for me, but I mean in general, for somebody who hasn't experienced someone in such a state, it's a very scary thing, I think, to observe. I mean, for instance, I can't, for instance, let my father watch me. I think he would, within the first 20 minutes, probably call the ambulance and say, no, my son needs to be taken up and put on an IV or something. You know what I mean?
And we've seen you, Rian, when you can't talk and you can't hear. That was a first for us as well, when you were here.
And that happens to me every time, funny enough. I can't articulate anything. But not in a bad way. It's not like I'm erratic or anything, I think. I don't know, really.
You were very well behaved. You just couldn't hear us or talk to us or anything.
Yeah, I do remember all of it.
Funny, yeah, you're very alert.
Well, that part anyway. Yeah, that's my addition to it for someone who hasn't experienced that part of it. It's a strange thing to now imagine yourself being alone and then try and reach out to someone. How do you do that? It's a weird thing. Anyway, Monica, I still wanted to say something to you as well. Anton. I recall the last time I saw you and you guys invited me off to the journey to sit in that first meeting you guys had there. Well, what a special thing that was. And you started crying that day, and that was before all of this nonsense started on Earth. And you started crying, and you said something was coming. And I don't think anybody really appreciated it. I think you had a premonition.
Maybe. Interesting.
But anyway, that's me.
Thank you, Rian.
Rian, if I can ask, just to come back to and to create a bit of an understanding of needing help during a journey, and what happens when you journey with Monica? How are you helped then?
Well, I remember faces of kind people staring at me. And, you know, I think that's where it comes in. If there's nobody there to give you a simple smile and make you feel comfortable in the state that you are, I think that's the world of difference for someone who is in such a state. Because if you have someone looking at you in shock, I think that would be amplified by the receiver.
I think you're quite right, which is why we're creating the support structure of companions. And I'm referring to them companions rather than experienced citizen watchers. And I can use you as an example. We're not throwing you in and saying, well, you're now on your own. We're spending a whole week with you and preparing you and your person that will be with you, be it your father or Michelle, letting them know this is how you've responded in the past, in this instance or in your instance. This is how you've responded in the past. It's likely you're going to respond like that again if you do go ahead with the journey. And providing the information of how, what kind of response you received in the past. It's not a jump in the deep end of, hey dad, I'm gonna do this on Saturday night. Will you arrive at 7:30? I'm gonna start at 8:00. It's not the recommended way to do it. So there are always unique situations, and that's individual to everybody, which is what we're working our way through. These online experiences of this of being available to people in whatever way they need it. And it's very much responding to being asked to do that. Monica, Rodi, and you mentioned about Monica being invited. This is what we're going to do. We're also responding to what was asked. Say, well, I can't come to Monica. I can't go and attend a ceremony where there's 20 or 30 people. I can't get someone to sit with me. But please, can you be available? And please, can you provide me the tools so that I can do this on my own? Because I really feel a calling to work with mushrooms. And if you don't receive that calling or feel that, well, the likelihood of you going through with the experience is a lot less. Mushrooms has that way. Melanie referred to this fear that she had of wanting to step through and experience mushrooms. And that fear, we're very familiar with that. It creates divine timing in my mind. Rodian, we spoke about that at Africa Burn quite a bit, of people that arrive after they've had bad experiences 20 years ago, and the divine timing it created of them
not doing it for years. But until they arrive at Africa Burn, then they decide this is it. Or even they tell us they're even arriving at Monica. I think many times people have said exactly that.
And Theo wanted to say something.
Thank you.
And Theo?
Yes, I just wanted to add in with the being alone versus being at Somaliland and journeying, and is we're very caught as humans, in this physical dimension and the space and where everything is. And the more I'm listening, it's, but hang on, we are, what Soma shows us and what this journey does and the intention that we go into it when we say yes to online is there's a whole different cog that happens. You saying yes to doing this alone and your support system, that invisible system, kicks in. Whereas when you say yes to go to Somaliland, there's a different system that kicks in, and the expectations and the energy is knowing that you have a physical support. But there's this invisible realm of Soma that kicks in and really holds. And I don't really have words. I've been working with the mushrooms for quite a while now, and I've actually never done any research on anything. And I'm grateful I haven't, because I think we get stuck so much in our heads. And the reason I'm putting my hand up now, I think, is to to get out of the heads and really just trust. If your heart is calling you, and you're going to be held, and you're a lot more in trouble on the highway, as Monica said earlier. So it's really listening to that heart, and when it's really, really scary, that's when you're going to get the best learning, and we learn and grow through that discomfort, and our spirits get stronger. So yeah, sorry, I feel quite passionate about that. So
that's beautiful, Anthony. That's very really true.
Yeah, and Rodianne, I've kind of said to you when we were muted, I said, I don't really know where the meeting should go from here. I don't really have a topic to discuss or anything to add specifically. It very much is over to you. Christy, thank you for saving me.
My pleasure.
What did Christy do?
What did Christy do?
How did you save the hand, John?
I stuck up a blue hand. I can understand why things are going to the online retreat, but I'm way more interested in the actual physical retreat. I can understand now with this dreaded word that I don't want to say out loud, that things have been put on hold. But for how long, more or less? I'm interested to know what sort of an experience from when you arrive to when you leave. Sorry, I didn't do the homework because my emails keep going to spam and I found it a couple of minutes before 7. So I'm seeing you and learning about you for the first time now.
Perfect. Thank you, Christy. So let's split your question up. Monica, if I could ask you to give us a bit of an overview of when you expect us to return to physical retreats in Somerset West.
Was that your question, Christy? I wasn't sure.
Yes. Sorry. And it seems we are almost neighbors.
Oh, you're me.
Yes, I live in Somerset West.
You know, Christy, I can't answer that.
Okay.
It depends on how things happen. One of the if you do join us and come regularly, you'll realize that we do what we call vagabonding, where we don't attempt to try and predict the future and what's going to happen. Yes. We rather watch very closely what's happening in the now and respond to that. So very suddenly we had four ceremonies booked. And we had to very suddenly end because of our president's talk the other night. And we could just as suddenly come back on again.
Yes.
Depending on what's happening and what's going on.
Okay. All right.
Was that the only question you had, Christy?
No, I'm also interested in the actual ceremony from start to finish. What's to be expected? It's just because the research I've been doing has been more along the lines of having a guided experience. And I can understand why you wonderful watchers say you don't want to interfere. But somebody like me, who's inexperienced, has never had an experience like that before, I would worry that not just freaking myself out, but also things that come up, how do I work with them? How do I process them? That's my biggest worry.
So, can I answer that?
I'm going to ask you to answer that, Monica. And I want to put that in a definition of saying, please describe what a Soma retreat is, what a Soma experience is as well, rather than specifically explaining the physical process of how a journey works. It very much depends on what we spoke about. What is a Soma retreat? Monica.
Christy, you are a marvelous, competent, unique human being, completely capable of looking after yourself.
Okay.
We are knocked around by the world in ways that make us think we have to be looked after.
Right.
And we can't do things on our own. And we absolutely know that you can. Even though this is the first time you and I are seeing each other, I know that you like that because every human being is. Yes. You are given all that we need. And you may not have the confidence to believe that, but it's true. You know, we call ourselves watchers because originally we called ourselves helpers, and that created a problem because it sounded like you needed help. And we were there to help you when you needed help. And so everyone started needing help. You don't need help. You need help to the toilet. You need help with the extra blanket or a bottle of water, but or a bucket to be sick in if that's what's going to happen. But to actually know that you are in contact with a divine force. I don't know what word to use, but there are many words for that divine force. Mm-hmm. Who are we as watchers to think that we have more to offer than that divine force in caring for you?
Okay.
And if a person keeps thinking they've got to reach out and get a human hand to help them, it distracts them from that much higher experience.
Yeah.
And I sometimes think with Rian, who seems to lose all ability to communicate with the world around him, is he shuts off completely so he can connect with that higher force. In a way, I quite envy him that experience.
Yeah.
So you don't need that. But if you haven't actually experienced it, it's hard to actually know that. You asked another thing too. What was it? Do you remember?
Sorry?
You asked something else as well. Or am I wrong about that?
No, I can't remember another specific question.
As far as what happens in a journey is after you've actually had the mushrooms, which you drink in a mixture of a fruit juice, a lemon juice and other fruit juice, within about maximum half an hour and sometimes within minutes, you move into another world. And for a first time, it's quite a shock. It's like you can't believe this is actually happening. And you open your eyes and look around, close your eyes, and the world comes and goes. And it's a totally something different you've never seen before. And this is just a typical journey. Every journey is actually different because you are different. And Soma, the spirit of mushrooms, knows you in depth, knows when you've committed to attend a journey and will begin to work with you before you even get here. And so you don't need us. And the more you can surrender to that higher force that is opening up to you, the more you will lose all connection with needing anything else other than a deeper and deeper connection with that higher force. It sounds, if someone doesn't know about these things, it sounds as though we've gone a bit crazy. But the most sane people I have ever met are the people who work with mushrooms regularly. And they become more sane and more grounded as the months and the years go by. So
yeah, the bit of research I've been doing in the last couple of weeks has convinced me of that go in knowing there are things to be worked on and worked with. But don't go in with a preconceived idea of, oh no, I'm going to fix this now.
Absolutely. I'm glad you came up with that yourself. That is the absolute truth. Have no expectations.
Yes.
Because our minds are so small. We can't even imagine what Soma can give us in an experience. It's way beyond anything we can invent in our little heads.
Yeah.
So you just go in with a blank mind, an open mind, not cluttered with anything at all, other than be able to make the maximum connection that you can. And you'll understand that after your first time.
Yeah, I think my pure excitement is enough to get me through anything.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm currently hiding in my garage. I have two small children in the next room.
Where do you live, Chrissy?
I'm in Westridge.
Oh, wow. You're just over the road.
Yes.
Okay. We won't talk about our neighborhood, but it's just nice. That's very close.
Yes.
Chrissy, there's a way of thinking that will say your magic in your life is limited by your own imagination.
Yes,
by setting an expectation and by putting a guide in place at a mushroom journey or even a Soma experience. By having a guide present that imagination limits you. And in a Soma experience specifically, we are actively acting to ensure that there is not a guide in place. And Monica's School of Mushrooms, just down the road from you, is a magical place where a very large group of watchers have trained over the last 11 years to learn exactly that, to learn how not to interfere in the divine imagination.
And
to have the courage to have that direct connection. And it's a terrible thing to see someone's life limited by their own imagination. And it's a magical thing to see exactly the opposite, to see this grow.
That's exactly why I feel it's so important for me to do this, is because I have put such limitations on myself in a very normal way, normal day-to-day life, what's seen as normal, it shouldn't be seen as normal. I shouldn't be blocking myself. I should be opening up. And that's exactly why I need my mushrooms. Mm. I can't tell you how excited I am. My husband's just as excited as I am. He wants me to get high.
And you know, it's so wonderful that you've realized that already now, before you've come. Remember I said just now, when mushrooms know you're coming to meet with them, they know it and they start working with you already.
Yeah.
That's really good to know that you've learned that already.
At my tender age of 35, I've decided, yay, it's time.
And good on your husband.
Oh, no, yeah. No, he'll join next time. He knows that mommy needs to do this.
Mm.
And he'll join in on the fun next time.
Yeah. That's very special.
Yeah.
So Christy, once the events open up again at Monica, you are on the mailing list. You'll receive a notification of that. It's likely to be a process of opening up step by step. And it may take some time. But Soma's already working. Those synchronicities, keep an eye out for them. Those that have a familiarity with them. It may happen next week or the week after or with somebody else completely as well. We're here to provide information and support and answer any questions that you have even after this meeting. So please feel free to reach out whenever.
I will.
We will let you know via the mailing list. And please keep an eye on it. Maybe have a look for the sender and add it to your address book so that it doesn't disappear in your spam folder. I'm very aware it does happen.
Yeah.
Somebody had a question. I saw a note. Was it you, Wes?
Nick did mention he had a question.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah, it was me. Can you hear me?
To refer to Rian after that. Nick, I'd like to hear from you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just wondering, regarding frequency of journeying, how often should you be journeying? I mean, like, every month, every 6 months, every...
Anthea and Bianca, I wonder if I could point the bus in your direction.
Bianca's going to say something.
Neither of them.
I was under the impression that you like rewired for, it was good for 6 months and then maybe you could do it again or something like that.
You know, it's such a personal thing. There was a time where I was literally watching at Monica's house every weekend, and there were people who would come out of the ceremony and be like, I'm never doing this again. And the following week they'd be there. So we've seen people come week after week for 4 weeks and then not come for it. I mean, I'm one of those people. I journeyed for the first time, I think it was 2012 or something like that. Yeah. And it took me, I came about every year after that. So for me, I was processing a lot in between my gaps. But some people from what I've heard, from they say it helps to top up. So if you start with some work and they just feel the call that I need to carry on with this momentum. So from what I've seen, I mean, I'm a different experience because, as I said to you, I took years between my journeys, but I do know of people that will literally come every week until they feel that they've done what they need to do. So I don't know. I mean, somebody else can add to that, but from my experience, any time, as long as it feels right.
And Nick, there is no normal about anything to do with mushrooms. There's only you and your own uniqueness and your ability to listen to the call of your own spirit. And you, if you feel a call, and Radian made it really clear, if you only feel a call every 5 years, that's fine. Some people do. They rock up every 5 years or so. And literally others come practically every time. It really is up to you to follow, to tune into that call and what you feel like doing. And maybe your concern was that you could do it too much.
Yeah.
No. As I said before, this is the safest thing you can take. You can't get addicted. It can't harm you. You can't overdose. You're absolutely safe. No matter, you can do it every day if you like.
I thought it might be a little bit psychologically addictive, that's all.
No.
No.
You know, we often say to each other, why do we keep doing this? It gets so uncomfortable. Yeah, there's no high. It's usually not a great happy time because we've been taught very important things that are hard to learn. And it doesn't taste very nice to drink. There's absolutely no reason to think that we would do this because we've got addicted to it, because there's nothing to be addicted to. But we see in our lives in between the ceremonies how things change and our view of the world changes and our view and the way we relate to people and how people relate to us and how things in our lives get sorted out. So there's no harm that can be done by doing it too often, no harm by doing it too few times. You can't be hurt by it.
Okay, and what's your view on microdosing?
It's a choice that you can have. The one thing I feel quite strongly about is that if you microdosing is wonderful, it really does help a lot. But you need to have a full-on 5-gram journey first to get it really going. It will be a disappointment if you don't do that. There's a calibration that happens where you calibrate to the force or the ability to communicate at that level. And then with microdosing, it can help you which happens anyway, by the way, without microdosing. But microdosing kind of will help you to keep even more on track with that learning. It's not something we push at all. We simply make it available if that's something that you would like to do, especially if you have major problems of some kind that you want to work. Maybe you're grieving. Maybe you'd suffer with fear or depression or something even harder than those things. And microdosing can really help with that. Those are really difficult things in life as well.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm not talking.
Okay. So like ayahuasca, is there weeks and months of integration after mushrooms?
I didn't hear that. Sorry.
As with ayahuasca, you know, they talk of like weeks and months of integration. Is that applied to the mushrooms too, I presume?
No.
No.
I personally don't agree with that. I see articles and things on the internet about that. It's a modern invention, and I don't think that integration is necessary. There's a need for integration all the time in our lives. Every day is a new experience that we need to think through. And integration can happen in another mushroom journey. You can integrate what happened before. But to lay down rules around, but you must first go and integrate, and invariably with a psychologist or a counselor or something, then you might as well not work with mushrooms. Rather go for counseling or psychological help.
Mm.
But the integration is not an essential thing because it happens anyway.
So the rewiring happens just like then, yes. at that time.
The rewiring can happen instantly. We've seen that where people have been rewired. And that's their word that they use, the rewiring, and quite spectacular. It's been on two occasions with two people I can remember. And it can happen overnight, and you go home the next morning after your first journey, totally rewired in some way or other that's relevant for you. Or it can be a very slow, meticulous process that's going on between you and Soma. And should you ever need to talk to a human being, whoever that human being may be, it's not something that you go and you can do that. Of course you can. It might be a close friend or your mother or a professional person. But not because you need to do that, but because it's a natural flow of your own process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Does that answer your question, Nick?
Yeah, pretty much. Thanks.
Bianca, before I go to Detoy and Christy, Bianca.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you. I just like to add something to that. For me, I think what mushroom has taught me the most is trust. Mm. And it doesn't matter if it is just trusting the process when I take it or trusting what comes up when I'm in it, or trusting that it knows when I need my next journey, or trusting that the integration is taking place in its own time. It's all about trust. So there's not such a thing as a time frame as such. It's really more a trust thing for me. And that's what mushrooms has taught me the strongest. It's whatever it is, you just need to be in the now and trust. So that might help you answer the question. Mm. So thank you.
Thank you, Bianca. Detoy.
Thanks, Anton. Monica, maybe, I don't know, maybe this is a question for you, and I think it's dose related. It's in the lead up to my first journey, I read a lot, maybe too much. And you hear people talk about mystical type experiences quite a bit. And you hear the people that do the studies say that most success, especially when if you're a person that struggles with depression, for example, most success is achieved where a mystical type experience is experienced. I can't explain how they, but that is where you complete no more ego, you experience God. To that effect. That hasn't happened with me in either of the first two experiences, and I was just curious, and I was wondering whether that is something that is dose dependent. So does it mean that for certain people, for some reason, it just doesn't happen at a 5 gram dose and you need to dose higher? Or does it mean that it's just not what is supposed to happen right now and there's something else? And both of my first two journeys, I learned very specific things, which I'm very thankful for. But I had the question, and I just wanted to know, because I haven't left Earth in either of my two journeys. And I'm very thankful for that, because what I got was very useful. And in my second journey, I remember sending Abezan a message, and I told him, yes, I'll need to do this so many more times, because there's so much more that I need to learn. Very specific, practical things. But the mystical experience thing has been at the back of my mind for quite some time.
Detroit, you've only had two journeys. Do you know how many dozens of journeys we have had? How do I want to answer this? I've got so much to say, my head could just about explode. I want to tear my hair out, actually.
Sorry, Monica. And Yabez says the same. He says the same thing, and he intentionally keeps quiet. He says, "I'm not going to say anything. Just trust the process." But still, you know, with me, it's like when you drink a headache tablet, it takes the headache away most times. So my logic is telling me when you put this into your body, that must happen to you. That is what my logic is saying. Yes, but I want to explain to you how I think. That's so that you know how my brain works.
I understand that. We've been hammered into a medical model.
Yes.
And we think, therefore, based on the medical model, that that if I take a Dispirin, it will take away my headache. And that is what happens. And it's the same thing happens with everyone who has a Dispirin and got a headache. Now, when you work with mushrooms, if you're working here and to a certain extent online too, the source of the mushrooms, I mean, I haven't even got a pot of my mushroom powder right here to show you. Everyone takes the same thing. Mm-hmm. And most people take 5 grams and they have totally different experiences. There's no comparison between any two people over hundreds and hundreds of people, and they're all having the same thing. So we've got to leave behind the medical model, which includes how much do you take. It's the size of the dose doesn't matter, except I think possibly from my experience of observing people who come for the first time, we suggest 5 grams for the first time. Because that you come with fear and doubt and it's unfamiliar. And the 5 grams is pretty strong and it takes you through that so that you don't spend the whole night fighting what's being offered to you. Because you haven't learned yet just to surrender. Almost, I think most people, me included, the first time I fought it off, I was such a shock of what was happening in me that I was trying to restore normality in my head. And that prevented me from who knows what I would have got that night. And that's why the first time on 5 grams is a good idea. You can have, anyone can have less than that if they want. After that, you can have another 5 gram journey and another 5 gram journey. And I don't think that we ever need to have more than 3 5 gram journeys. Because by that stage, you've got accustomed. Accustomed is not the right word. Your body, your mind, your spirit have been acclimatized. It knows psilocybin. And it welcomes that back into your life again and picks up where it left last time. The watchers, when they journey, we each have 1 gram each. And one problem we have is we feel that we've had far too much because we've been pulled off in a full-on journey. When we're supposed to be living, looking after everybody who's present. But of course, watchers are learning how to do that, how to work in spirit and in practical ways in the material world as well. So for me personally, the most powerful experience that I've had with mushrooms, so much more. And I mean, I cannot even begin to imagine how many times I've worked with mushrooms over the last 11 years. Almost 12 years now. The most powerful experience I had was on 2 grams.
Wow.
And it had such a forceful transformational experience that I'd already learned so much that in a particular situation I was at that time, which was a legal situation, it just broke me free into another level around the forces of law and the laws of nature and the laws of man and how they work together. And it was just what I needed for then. So trust, Bianca mentioned trust. Trust that psilocybin mushrooms, Soma knows exactly what you need and will give you that. And you can think that you need caviar or something. Whereas you need the experiences that you've had. You know, if you're going to plant a vegetable garden, you first of all got to prepare the soil. If you want a successful garden, you prepare the soil, you make sure it's weed-free, it's got all the kind of nutrients that it needs, and then the time of year matters. All of that preparation is very important before you plant the seed. Then you plant the seed and you bury it underground, and the poor old seed doesn't know what's happening. And it lies there in darkness with nothing happening before a root appears, which I'm sure is a big surprise to the seed. Ultimately, before a shoot comes up above the ground, the laws of nature are being enacted within us. But we bring our human stuff that we've read, and we've read about research and books and all of, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. But as long as we don't attach to it and think that's how it's got to be for me, you, whatever you are getting is exactly what you need. Very exactly what you need. And if you are unable to surrender to it and gain as much as you can, which is what we try to make possible for everyone, for you to gain as much as you can, you have to come back and do it again the next time, a bit like reincarnation. You have to come and do it again because you need that part. The soil must be ready before you can go on to the next level. Most of the answers to anything to do with psilocybin you can find in the laws of nature, in your own garden, in looking at the sky, watching the seasons come and go, the day and night. It's all written there, exactly how we work with Soma. You just look to nature.
Thank you, Monica. That's perfect. Thank you.
But let me tell you, Dutoy, how far you have come. You have come very far. I don't think you realize, I mean, I didn't know you before, but I've just seen so much your enlightenment in the little time that we've had to do with each other.
Thank you, Monica. Thank you very much. And you mentioned integration and that you don't like that term. In part of my reading in advance, you know, integrate. And I was speaking with my wife, she's going to journey with you guys next weekend, about integration, and she was saying, well, when does this happen? Is it going to happen on Monday or on Sunday? When and will I feel it? And in my life, it's interesting. It's been a month now since my last journey, and it feels like just this week I noticed something very specific that's different, very different. And it's not because I made meticulous notes and I reread my notes every day. And it's not because I followed a process. It was something has changed. It's like, you know, when we used to tune the TVs in the olden days, it's like, my tuning has just been changed a little bit. And it's very interesting. And for me, it's very important because I'm so process driven. I need to let go. And the moment that I let go, you start to notice and you start becoming more receptive. So it's very, very valuable. And yeah, I can just attest to the fact that you don't have to work so hard and I'm preaching to myself to get what I need to get. It's happening. You just need to let it be. It's going to happen.
And you see, the problem with people who think that something must happen now or next week or on a particular date is that our minds are our worst problem. Yeah. In our minds, we think this is what's got to happen. Mm. And as I said earlier on, who do we think we are? That we know better than this powerful spirit we've come to work with. Whereas we could just stay home and go to sleep and gain a lot out of sleeping and dreaming that night, rather than introducing that extra opportunity to make connection. And the changes will not happen according to what we want and what we think we need, because actually we don't know what we need. And Soma comes in and goes to the root cause. It goes below. It doesn't look at the symptoms. It doesn't deal with the symptoms. It goes right down to the root cause of what the issues are. And it starts working and tinkering around with that, which are very deep and very long lasting. They've been going on for a long time. So those things start being worked with as much as we allow. Because Soma doesn't take us over like another spirit comes and possesses us. It simply starts opening windows and doors for us so that we can respond. And some people respond with all their hearts from the word go. And it's quite wonderful to watch. But other people come with woundings and memories and old ancient hurts, and all of that is seething around underneath, so that, and making so much noise and turmoil that they can't understand or even get close to what the real causes are. But Soma doesn't, will still keep on. The next day, the next week, the next month, and the months go by, and even after just one journey, that change will continue to happen. And the more we block our minds up with our expectations about how it should be, the longer it's going to take.
Thank you, Monica.
That was a long answer on my side.
No, but it's what I needed. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Detoy. Christy, you've had your hand up a while.
I tried to remove it because everything was just answered. Yeah.
So happy to hear that. We've been scrambling around here. You know, a little bit of background. We haven't been living in this place for, it's about 6 weeks, 2 months now. And the power has gone out here as well, obviously due to
the storm
that's arrived, et cetera, et cetera. And about 5 minutes ago, the laptop's battery was running flat. We're plugged into a solar where the Wi-Fi is at least running permanently in that way, but the laptop wasn't. So we've moved through to the kitchen.
And that's plugged in through an extension cord through the window into the main farmhouse. So it's quite a plan that we've made.
And roughly around about the same time, the temperature here dropped maybe by 5 or 10 degrees even, a significant temperature drop.
Proper cold all of a sudden.
We've got a little burner, bearing in mind we haven't been here the whole day. We haven't lived here for 6 weeks, so it's an environment that's not particularly comfortable. But it does remind me of a Soma ceremony.
Yes.
Because
proper.
So many times, and it's in a way it's easier in Somerset West. It's easier for the watchers that arrive. Detour, you may have experienced this when you arrive there. It's like clockwork, yet Monica's running around frantically in the background because there's always this element of the unknown that comes up. And we experience that a lot when we're on the road as well. And in that way, these things are presented that we get to learn something from. So we've got this covered. The laptop's plugged in and the heater is running next to Rodianne. So she's quite happy there as well. So if you saw us scrambling around, I'm so happy to hear your answers were covered as well, Christy. Monica has a very special way of being very direct with you, Detoy, and explaining where and what you need to hear at that point in time. I have this thought process, and Rian, I know you've got your hand up as well. I don't want to talk too long, but there's this idea of a mystical experience, which can be incredibly elusive and very misleading. From the sounds that I have, without going into your discussion, Detoy, your journeys sound quite incredible as you were presented with very specific answers. And the changes that other people are likely seeing in you are quite mystical and explainable in a certain way. And how terrible could it have been if you had a out-of-body mystical experience for the first time that you did arrive? Because often from experience, that takes something away from journeyers, and they chase that. They chase that new experience, and mushrooms don't give them that. And they go and look for it elsewhere, and they go for an ayahuasca journey, and that doesn't give it to them either. And then off they go, and they go somewhere else for a different kind of experience, and they never find what they're looking for, because what they're looking for is actually what you've already got, is that experience. It's quite mystical in its own kind of way.
Absolutely.
So I'm so happy that Monica has explained it so well. And the cat just jumped on the table and burnt her bum on the candle table. So I'm going to hand over to Rian. Rian, how
can we... having a hard time over there.
Anton, I just wanted to congratulate you guys for still being able to keep a live stream going in your current condition. Because, I mean, honestly, man, That is really, I take my hat off to you, to all of you, really. It's amazing. Honestly, it is. Yeah, on the topic of, I think we're really on the topic almost of guided ceremonies versus non-guided ceremonies or non-bias ceremonies. I have a question, Bianca. I don't know if I've ever met you physically. I don't think so. But I looked at your bio and I see you've got experience with hypnotism. And I was just wondering from your side, because you would probably have the ultimate answer in regards to guided ceremonies. What do you believe you could achieve with a human being who is under the influence of psychedelics?
That's
a long question. Sorry.
I don't think I've met you before, but thank you. And thank you for the question. When we talk about hypnosis and psilocybin, I don't really combine them as such that I would say I would do a session while people are on psilocybin. I've played around before with friends, but that's not really, it's more my curiosity that needed to be satisfied. When I say I combine it, it's more about if you have people that are scared to do it initially, you can actually help them to get into that fear with hypnosis first. So when they enter the session afterwards, that they're more calm and relaxed to enter into a journey. The other way to do it is that you do hypnosis afterwards to help them with the integration. So that's how I do the combination of hypnosis and psilocybin. And because I find that they almost, I don't know if you understand what I say when I say it's same, but different. Okay, do you go with that? Do you understand what I mean when I say that?
Well, in a way I do, if we're talking about self hypnosis in the sense of the ability. Well, I mean, if we're really talking psychedelics, it's all in the brain anyway, isn't it? I mean, the DMT is just sitting right there waiting to be released at any given moment. So I don't know. I think what I'm trying to get at, though, is whether you believe the skills you have would have an influence or actually a significant influence on a person during the time that they are actually in there. If you were to try, that's what I want to know.
Okay. I hear your question. I would say no. And I tell you why, because then I would interfere with the mushroom themselves. So that's not what it is all about. So what it is, let me give you a bubble of background when it comes to hypnosis. The duty of a hypnotherapist is to let a client find the answers within themselves. Okay, so when we do psilocybin, the mushrooms actually do that for you. Okay, so it's got nothing to do with would I be able to guide you on a journey when you're on mushrooms, because what I would need to do is I would need to make you trust that the mushrooms know where to take you and for you to trust what comes up. That is really what the point is. It is not about being guided while you are on mushrooms, because then what I would do is then I would not have the trust within the mushrooms. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much for your answer. Well, it strikes a chord. Thank you very much, Bianca.
Okay, so yeah. I answered it to the best of my ability, because it's the same as a hypnosis session. You don't ever hypnotize anybody. You really, what you're doing is you tickle out the answers within a client, because the client has all the answers within. So my duty is not to bring in my stuff, but to let you find your answers. So psilocybin really does the same. But if I combine hypnosis and mushrooms, then the chances that one takes over and one interferes in that process with the mushrooms is just too great. So I hope that's the best I can give you.
Very interesting. Thank you so much, Bianca. Okay. So that's it from me. Thanks, Anton.
Thank you, Rian. Monica, did you want to add something there, or?
No. I was going to say something, but I don't need to now.
Now you're all wondering what was I going to say.
When she does.
Now you have to say it, Monica.
What I was going to say was something I've already said, I think, is that I suspect that hypnotherapy could be very important as ongoing growth. You know, maybe months later or so. It's not to do with integrating so much as just another way of moving along. Soma is, in my mind, almost completely the be-all and end-all of all possible healings, but it's not actually true, because there's so much else that is available to each one of us. And if you feel that you would like to do hypnotherapy, and I think Anthea does what's the family constellations, for instance, there's so many healing, but I do astrology. That's my day job. All of those things are helpful as well. It doesn't mean that those become not available to us. And if we listen to what we need, the right people will arrive and we'll be able to respond. That's more or less what I was going to say.
Thank you, Monica. Datoya has left us as well. Does anybody have any other questions or anything else that they'd like to add? Or any gaps that need filling this evening? Wes, I also just want to say I'm very happy to see you tonight. It's not a prompt to hear from you. We'd love to just say hi and touch base. But I'm really happy to see you as well.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome always.
Be quiet, Wes.
Yes, I'm listening. I'm trying to learn as much as I can.
Okay. So I'm going to end that off here and let you all know that if you want any more information, it is likely either on the website or you're welcome to mail us. You're welcome to connect with us on Facebook. It's always a good starting point. The two pages that are linked to in the first email that you got when you registered are a wonderful starting point to I wanted to say guided, but I'm not, because it's more picking up keys on your own research and finding your own answers. That's a very good starting point to connect with the community that is not only here in South Africa, but it spreads all around the globe now. So please feel free to connect with us in any way that you'd like to. And we very much look forward to seeing you either at one of our online events or even just pop in like a fly on a wall and be part of the meetings in the future. Connect with us via email. So any last words from, I'm going to go through before I hand over to Nick. I am going to hand to the watchers before we do leave. But Nick, thank you for extending our time together.
I've got one last question, actually. Since you cancelled the retreat, I have had actually on Saturday I had a major experience with a bucket load of mushrooms. It was on Table Mountain, and it took a while to kick in, but I must admit I experienced mainly, and to look at that mountain when you're on mushrooms, just, like, close up is incredible, but the grass came alive and everything like that, but I didn't actually have any mystical experience, which is, I think it was mentioned before, but that's besides the point. I think I had rather a lot because, it was going on for 6 hours. And I was interested to know, I just at the end when I finally got back to base, how can I bring the journey to an end? What's the best method? Is it just food or what? Or you can't. You can't bring it.
You can't. You need to let it run its course.
All right. So food isn't an answer, because like he's been fasting beforehand. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I presume you were on the mountain in the daytime.
Yes.
Mushrooms work at their best during the night hours.
Is it darkness is best?
I wouldn't suggest you go on the mountain at all to have do a mushroom journey on your own.
I wasn't on my own.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
No. I had a sort of watcher, but also participating.
Okay.
But
I'd love to have a video of that experience.
Well, I mean, it was quite bright, you know, looking out on the city, but like, and looking at rocks and things. But it was on the way back up to the contour path that everything like became alive, like the grass. Yeah. It was amazing.
So you see, the mushrooms can adjust to the circumstance. That's why I said it's not a discipline that fixes your headache, and you can predict that. They adjust to what is. So the mushrooms that you took, even if it was literally a bucket load, they see, oopsie, this guy doesn't really know what he's doing, and it's daytime, and he's wandering around on a mountain. We better hold back here.
Mm.
And we'll give him a nice little view of the grass and the rocks and stuff. So he's had something, but we can't give him all that we would have given if it was under different kinds of circumstances.
Yeah, everything was fine, but we got to the top of the contour path and there was a seat there.
Yeah.
And my friend said, oh, let's just sit in the seat. And we looked beyond the seat where the contour path, and there was like four police cars parked there. So like, and all the policemen were in a group talking outside and apparently looking at us, so... And like we had to call an Uber, but there's no way I could use my phone. There's just no way. Fortunately, my friend was able to use my phone. So, but yeah, I was a little bit paranoid there for a bit, but like, you know, but and then when we got back, like we ran out of water, so like I'm got all this feeling like, oh, we're gonna drop from. You know, dehydration or whatever, but we got back and yeah, so I ordered some pizza, which seemed to take forever. I don't think it really was that long, but it seemed long anyway. So yeah, but, just a little one. When we were sort of sitting there looking over the mountain, like obviously it's bright, and I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you say no. But also there was a chill wind that would come up, and like my friend who's more experienced with this, he said, oh, you need to put your jacket on because it's important to keep warm. Is that correct?
Well, it's important to be comfortable in your body.
Yeah.
Because your body will distract you from your experience.
The comfort is the key.
Yes, just be in whatever it is.
Right.
Just be as comfortable as you can, because we are all of us well skilled in responding to the needs of our bodies. That's right. Why in the summer retreat we try to cut off all the things that will distract you into worrying about your body over something or other. Right. Even like mosquitoes, we don't want you to be bitten by a mosquito, because the itching of that will distract you into your body again. That's just one little example.
Right. So is it best eyes open or eyes closed in this sort of candlelit atmosphere?
It doesn't matter. I find that it seems to be more common to have eyes closed. But other people experience something different. Those are small details that actually come naturally.
Right. Okay. Thanks very much.
We don't need to get fixed in rules and this is what we must do and shouldn't do.
No, I'm just picking your brain.
That's right.
Nick, I'm
a greenhorn. So,
Nick, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
The mushrooms that you took on the mountain, were they in a powder form or did you chew them?
No, they were dried and I chewed them, and they were like Amazonian breed or something.
If you do some reading online, Terence McKenna has got a very specific pointer about taking 5 grams of mushrooms. He says, make sure you got a scale.
What
you think is 5 grams of mushrooms is nowhere close to it if you don't weigh it.
Mm.
It's likely that you took maybe a gram, maybe 2 grams.
No, I think I had 7.5 grams.
Okay, so 7.5 grams of mushrooms is a lot of chewing. So
yeah, it is. Yeah. But also, do you find that you stop salivating? So like we had like he offered me like so I'm hungry, he offered me ghost pops and like it just formed a paste in my mouth and then I had a chocolate and it's just like I couldn't digest it in my mouth. There's no saliva. It was just amazing. For hours afterwards, I had to have water. That's why we ran out of water.
Nick, it sounds like you got dehydrated.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But after when I had sufficient water, I still wasn't salivating until I was completely virtually back down to earth. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
But I think it was just that particular experience.
Yeah.
Okay. I doubt that that's going to happen to you every time.
Mm, we'll see.
Well, now, thanks. Don't go to the mountain again.
You've
done that.
No, okay. I thought nature was the way to go, but anyway.
Well, but except there's a you need to also be sure that you're going to be safe.
Yeah, and four police cars. Four police cars aren't very reassuring with 8 policemen standing there.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a worry. Anyway.
Yeah.
Cynthia, yeah. You're also needing to go. So beautiful. I think you haven't been seeing us this evening.
Yeah.
And that your connection hasn't been that great, but it's been wonderful to have you here with us as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks very much.
Bye, Anthea.
Goodbye.
I'd like to give a chance for Bianca and Monica, maybe Rodian, just to quickly say bye. If there's anything else you'd like to add, you're welcome to as well. Bianca.
Nothing to add from my side. Thank you so much for Slacking.
Thank you, Bianca. Monica?
And nothing more to say. Thank you. It was great to be here. See your lovely faces.
Okay. Bye from me.
Bye, Nick.
Bye, Nick.
Thank you for coming, everybody. It's always lovely to see all the new faces and people who are actually interested in venturing down this path of self-exploration and making the world a better place. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks from my side, everybody. I really enjoyed the session tonight. Very informative. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carl.
I promise I'll have video next time.
Oh, yay.
Now, everybody, I'll send you a link to the recording and enjoy the winter's evening. Lots of love from
us. Stay warm and safe.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Lots of love. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Stay warm. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.